rope like we're living in the last minutes of the last days. And, you know, he said in the parable of the 10 virgins, he made mention, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a 10 virgins. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. He said the foolish ones brought their lamps but forgot to take oil along with them. The wise ones brought their lamps and they also brought oil in their jars along with them. He says they were waiting. And it says that the bridegroom was a long time in coming. And they all fell asleep. All of them. You know, in the most difficult thing is because, you know, we can recognize that the bridegroom is coming, and at times it seems like it is a long time in coming. And we don't want to be like that and have let our guard down. He says we should be waiting like one who's expecting a thief to come in the night. Because it says Jesus will come that way all of a sudden. And a lot of people will have their guard down because they've heard the story that, you know, get ready, the Lord is coming. But you know, Jeremiah prophesied for 23 years that destruction was coming before something actually manifests. It's approximately of that amount of time. So it was a long time. And the people started saying in their hearts in Jeremiah's day, if you read the book of Jeremiah, they said the people are saying, he's prophesying from a long time from now. Maybe that was Ezekiel that said that. But anyways, the prophets were saying things and the people started thinking in their hearts that it was going to be a long time before the words that the Lord had spoken would come to pass. But the Lord says, look, he says, I'm telling you that it's going to come to pass right now. That's how it is with God. When he says something, he expects us to respond right now. He expects us to respond right now. You see, because he wants us to be ready always. Why should we wait until something major happens to get prepared and be wholeheartedly serving the Lord? That's the real question. Why don't we just wholeheartedly serve the Lord every minute of every day as if Jesus were coming this very day? Because he could come this very day. So we want to make sure that we're ready. We want to make sure that we're alert. He said to be on guard, be alert, and pray. You do not know when that time will come. Mark 13:33. Be on guard, be alert, and pray. So one of the things we want to be doing is we want to be on guard, we want to be alert, we want to pray. Another place he says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers around the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. So we want to make sure that we're alert. And for the Lord's coming, we also want to make sure that we're alert for the enemy's coming. Because he comes, according to Jesus' word, he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to that you might have life and life more abundantly, John 10:10. And one of the ways the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy is he wants to get us to not be alert so that he can devour us and make sure that we're sleeping when the Lord does come. He knows when the trumpet has been sounded. The enemy knows there's an appointed time, and they know when it is because those demons came. When those demons spoke to Jesus and said, have you come to destroy us before the appointed time? Before the appointed time. So they know that there is a specific time for this, and we want to make sure that we're aware of that fact. And Satan has made his movements. He's making preparations over in the Middle East with all these things that are going on over there in preparation for the formation of the 10 kingdoms that will arise after the rapture of the church in that area of the world within the old Roman Empire territory. And out of those 10 kingdoms, the Antichrist rises. It says that according to the book of Daniel, he subdues 3 of those kingdoms. He's one of those kingdoms. The other 6 willingly submit their authority over him, to him. So we want to make sure that we're aware that there's things going on in the world, and this is all prophecy being fulfilled. This is all signs of the times. So we want to make sure we're ready, because the Lord could come anytime. And like I quoted earlier, you know, he says, the end of all things is near, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. It takes self-control to discipline yourself to pray. A lot of times there's many distractions the enemy uses. Especially with this technology age and a mind that's been so thoroughly programmed in this generation to constantly have to figure everything out. So we want to make sure that we have our guard up. He said to be self-controlled, alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around seeking whom he may devour. But he said the end of all things near, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so you can pray. Well, we need to be self-controlled and clear-minded, first of all, to discern Satan's tactics that surround. And that he says he shoots flaming arrows at us, according to Ephesians 6:16. We want to take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. He says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And he says, pray on the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So we want to make sure that we have our shield of faith up, building ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost with all kinds of prayers and requests. We can ask God to help us to pray about specific situations that we're going through. And he will help us do so if you will take the time to pray. You see, when it comes to the things in the Spirit, it takes time to pray that out. Your occasional bursts, emotional bursts, and praying in tongues isn't going to do it. Praying in tongues is a duration type of prayer. Typically, when someone's got a situation, I ask them before I counsel them, did you take a half an hour to pray in tongues about that? If they did, most of the time, they wouldn't need the counsel, you see. But before we get to any kind of level of maturity, people like to run to the pastor for counsel. But the Bible calls the Holy Spirit our counselor. He's our counselor. We need to learn to go to the Holy Spirit to get our counsel. And the way he counsels us is in that time of prayer in our prayer closet through praying in tongues is the main way he gets information over to us. Jesus said, he shall take a mind and show it unto you. That word show, that means he's going to, it literally means to transmit. To transmit. He's going to transmit something over to us. And if you break it down in the Greek, it's through a medium of exchange. Well, what medium of exchange would it be? Well, according to 1 Corinthians 2, which we went over yesterday, we found out, he says, words not taught in men's wisdom, but words taught by the Holy Spirit, comparing spiritual with spiritual. He transmits, he compares the spiritual things of God to your new nature. He transmits it over to you, which is a receptor to receive information from God. We can receive information from heaven to receive and understand revelations that God needs you to know about your situation, about your problem. That's why it's so important and it's so imperative that if we have a problem, we first go to God and counsel with our senior partner in life. Amen. He's your counselor. And we need a lot of counseling because there's a lot of different things we need counsel for. And he wouldn't have gave us, if we didn't need counseling, he wouldn't have gave us the Holy Spirit, a personal counselor that's with you forever, Jesus said in John 14:17. So God must have known that we needed some counseling. And if anybody's willing to recognize that we do have weaknesses as we grow and mature, then you're one who's teachable, you're meek, you're able to be instructed. If you think you've got it all together, there's no hope for you. Amen. Because the Bible says, he says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, into the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. 1 Peter 5:5-6. We got to submit to God. He says, submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. James said when he said, quoted the same thing about being proud. So we need to submit our whole lives to God, and then, you know, when we resist the devil that way, he'll flee from us. And one of the ways we resist him is when we attempt to pray. Every time you allow your tongue to hook up with your spirit through praying in tongues, it's a form of submission to God and His will. Because He says the Spirit, He talks about, He says Romans 8, 26 to 28, He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself helps us. The Spirit Himself helps us with our infirmities, for we don't know what to pray for as we ought. The Spirit Himself helps us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Trying to talk. And He that searches our hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit makes intercession for the saints in accordance with the will of God, and we know in all things God works together for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. A lot of people like to quote that, but in context of Romans 8, 26 to 32 there, He's talking about the one who loves Him, who's been called according to His purpose, the one who submits to the Holy Spirit's leadership and prayer. Then God works all things together for His good according to His purpose. He mentions the word mind. He that searches our hearts knows of the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit makes intercession for the saints in accordance to the will of God. The mind, that's God's plan for you, is mind for you in this generation as an individual. His personal mind for you, what He's got planned for you to fulfill within His overall will, which is all humanity to be saved. And then He works all things together according to God's purpose. His purpose is the culmination of all things. That's when the new heavens and the new earth. So God, in other words, what He's saying there is when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will help you with your weaknesses so you can find and fulfill God's individual plan for you. What He's called you to do, and where you can find out where you fit within God's will, which is God's calling for you to fulfill, so we can work according to God's will, which is all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4 and 2 Peter 3:8-9, He says the same thing. So now, and during that time of prayer, when He's revealing these things to you, He said, those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What is He saying? He's saying, look, as you pray out that plan in tongues, the Holy Spirit's going to help you find God's calling for you as an individual, where you fit in God's will, for God's overall purpose, and so you can grow up and become just like Jesus. That word edify, when He says He speaks in an unknown tongue, edifies Himself, it says in 1 Corinthians 14:4. Edify, that word, that means you build yourself up on your most holy faith. But if you look the word edify up in the Greek in your Strong's Concordance, let me just read it to you here. Edify. If there's anything we need to be to grow and become, get rid of our weaknesses, we need to build ourselves up, correct? Building yourself up, you can think of it as like building a muscle up. When you work that muscle, if you do it properly, and you feed and nourish that muscle properly, then you can rest assured that it will grow. So we want to make sure that we're recognizing these things, and we're recognizing what God's trying to do in us and through us. That word edify in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when He talks about tongues, is okademio in the Greek. It means to build a house, erect a building, to build up from the foundation, to restore by building, to rebuild, to repair, to found, to establish, to promote growth in Christian wisdom, affection, grace, virtue, holiness, blessedness, to grow in wisdom and piety. That's an amazing promise. He says, he that speaks in unknown tongue edifies. That means that you promote growth in Christian wisdom, affection, grace, virtue, holiness, blessedness, to grow in wisdom and piety. Piety is devotion. Man, if there's anything I want is all those things. And he says, I'm doing that when I pray in tongues. I mean, get out of the prayer closet and let me in. Let me in that place. Because if I can speak a language that I don't even know and it's going to do all those things for me, man, I want to do that without ceasing, like he said. And the most amazing thing about tongues, he took your mind out of it. Tongues has absolutely nothing to do with your intellect. Nothing whatsoever. It's a spiritual-based prayer. So you can literally pray in tongues when you do anything. You can pray in tongues while you're reading and retaining knowledge from the Bible. You can drive a car while you pray in tongues. When you're driving to and from work, when you're driving to go visit someone. You can pray in tongues while you're cooking turkey dinner on Thanksgiving or cooking ham on Christmas or whatever it is you cook. When you're preparing all those spices and everything and getting everything, it takes 4 or 5 hours to prepare that dinner. That whole entire 4 or 5 hour time, you can pray in tongues. Literally, it doesn't require your mind. You can pray in tongues while you shower. You can pray in tongues even while you brush your teeth. You can pray in tongues while you exercise. You can pray in tongues when you're waking up in the sunrise. You can pray in tongues while you lay down to go to sleep. Man, if you keep praying in tongues, he's just going to build you up. You're no longer going to be weak. Amen. You can pray in tongues when you go to and fro. You can pray in tongues. You can pray in tongues. You can pray in tongues all the time as you go. So why don't we learn to do that as we, you know, a lot of times I ask people to pray and you look over and their lips are locked or they're playing with their tongue in their mouth or something. They're picking their teeth with dinner out of their teeth. Man, don't let the devil trick you into doing that. That thing will get out and work its way out as you pray in tongues. Just focus on the tongues. Why? Well, God's got a lot of things he needs to accomplish in the earth. And the way he does that is through his body. God's main idea of what he wants for his body is for us as the body of Christ, he calls us over and over in Scripture, to do the exact same thing in the earth that God himself would do if he came down off his throne and walked down here as a man. If you can grasp, if you can think to yourself, well, what would Jesus do if he came down off the throne? What would he do if he came down to the earth? Well, we know that Jesus would do the same thing he did as he walked the earth as a man, wouldn't he? He'd go around witnessing and talking to people and preaching the gospel. He would pray for the sick, he'd heal. And we know that Jesus also, like it says in Mark 1:35, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. In another place it says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places where he prayed. Lonely places where he prayed. Secluded himself so he could spend time alone with God and receive God's counsel and direction. So you want to spend a lot of time in prayer. Why don't you go on over? Go on over to Isaiah chapter 60. I think we'll start around there. Isaiah 61, we'll start. And before we get into the word, we should pray. Amen. So just lift up your hands and extend your faith with me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit in this place. And we just ask you to instruct us in the ways of your kingdom, Lord, so that we can walk in your kingdom, and not just walk in your kingdom, but walk in the power that you have for us. Teach us, Lord. We yield to you. I ask your hand to come upon me now to deliver these words in a way that gives understanding to the hearer, to the simple. We just thank you and glorify you and thank you for everything you're working in us. We bind every hindrance of the service and command the enemy to leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 61, verse 11. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Let's read this again. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow. Soil makes a sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow. So we see that we know that God's kingdom works on a prayer, by words. It's a word system. God's kingdom works by a word system, correct? In God's words, he says the seed is the word of God, Luke 8:11. So God's word is a seed, and our words that we speak are seeds. We speak words, and those words go forth as a seed, and they're planted, and they're going to bring forth a harvest, whether good or evil. So you want to make sure they're speaking good words. Jesus said it's by your words to be acquitted, by your words to be condemned, right? He said it's out of the overflow of the heart the mouth speaks, he said. He said, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word that is spoken. By your words to be acquitted, by your words to be condemned. Matthew 12:34-37. So we want to make sure that, first of all, our heart is full of God's word. Because it's out of the overflow of the heart the mouth speaks. He says to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of our hearts flows the issues of life. It says in Proverbs 4:23-24. So we want to make sure we're guarding our hearts, what we're allowing in there. We know that we're supposed to meditate God's word day and night so we become full of God, right? He talked about being filled with all the fullness of God in Ephesians 3:20. Well, that's not going to happen unless you do something. The way we get full of God is to put God's word. David said, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Let's fill our hearts with God's word through the constant meditation of his word so the overflow of our heart is God's word. Because God's word is a seed. There's a process to a seed growing. He says, a soil makes a sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow. There's a process, but in order for that process to begin, we need to first fill our heart with God's word and begin to speak those words out of our mouth so that those words can go forth as a seed and cause the garden to grow. It's a process, but in order for the process to begin, you need to speak words. And in order for you to speak the right words again, you got to fill your word of God's heart. Does that make any sense? You see the process here. Now, go on over to Mark chapter 4. In the book of Mark, he says this. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because of the harvest has come. So Jesus is explaining the kingdom of God, what it's like. He's saying it works on a seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest type of system. First we sow the seed, we see that. And all by itself, he says, the soil produces the grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. So Jesus is saying, look, if you plant your seeds, and we're talking about words being a seed. If you plant the seeds and you keep it in the ground, we know that there's a process we learned from Isaiah 61, correct? And part of that process is, you know, if you're a farmer, we know that we got to properly nourish the seed. Well, what do you do after you plant a seed? What would you typically do? You water it, right? We want to make sure that we water our seed. Now, we know that we plant the seed with the word that we've spoken. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. First you pray for your healing, then you claim it. According to James chapter 5, he said, is any one of you in trouble? He shall pray. Is any one of you happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. If he sinned, his sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. He said Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander for the truth and someone should bring him back, he said, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. He's saying, look, through this prayer, this process, all of it, he told you to pray. He pray or praise or call for someone else to pray for you. He gives you an example of Elijah's powerful prayer. Your prayer is just like him. He says, if someone else wanders away, pray for them to bring them back to the flock. It's all based on a word system. So whatever, if it's healing that you need, he's telling you, you pray. You have someone pray for you, right? He said, we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And once we believe God for that healing, the best thing to do, if you're believing for a personal healing, maybe it's a malignant thing, you're feeling pain, and it keeps trying to come on you, the best thing to do is keep thanking Him until it manifests. That's watering your seed. Thanking Him is watering your seed. Amen? Watering the seed. So you want to properly nourish that seed and water it. Let me read through this again. Verse 26, he says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. So Jesus says, if you plant the seed, now we know also within this process, is when it comes to prayer, we need to water that seed through thanking God, correct? We want to thank God. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. Philippians chapter 4, for example, he says, do not be worried or anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. You see? So if we combine that with Jesus' parable here, we see that there's thanksgiving is part of the process for that seed of your prayer to grow. With thanksgiving, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and then the peace of God that transcends knowledge of guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. A lot of people pray and they say, oh, thank you, God, but they're not thanking God continually. That's why that peace is far removed from their minds. Their minds are constantly troubled because they're not spending the rest of the day thanking Him for the answer. So they're spending a whole lot of time worrying. But the Bible says, do not fret. It leads only to evil. And Jesus said, do not worry in Matthew 6:25. We don't want to worry. He said right there in Philippians 4:6, do not be worried or anxious about anything. Well, what should we do? Well, pray about it once. That's a prayer of faith, right? We ask God, we petition God for that thing that we desire. He said, whatsoever you shall desire, when you pray, believe that you have received it and you will have it. Mark 11:24. He said, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Well, how do we believe? Well, he said in 2 Corinthians 4:13, if you believe, he said, we have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, and we also believe and therefore speak. So if we believe we're going to do speaking, well, what kind of speaking are you going to do after you pray? You already asked Him for it once. You're not going to continually ask Him for it if it's a prayer of faith. Now, you could pray that type of prayer over and over for other people, but when it comes to the prayer of faith, we ask one time, this is how it works, and then we thank Him for it. Well, how often do I thank Him? Well, constantly, continually. Interwoven your tongues with thanking God for that specific thing you're believing God for. If it's your rent being paid, you should say it 1,000 times a day, especially if it's due next week. Start thanking Him for it. Because otherwise you're going to start to feel the pressure, and the pressure is going to get on you. But if you keep pressing against the pressure and resist against the pressure aggressively through your action of faith, which is called thanking God and praising God, then you can rest assured that instead of that pressure getting in you, you're going to be able to fight that spiritual war, and you're going to have the faith that's necessary to receive that thing you're attempting to believe God for. Okay? Now, so we see there's a process. The thing I want to get over to you is there's a process to prayer. You plant that seed, and we need to water it, but something that happens is a lot of times the exact opposite tends to happen when you pray. And circumstances can get hot. Peter talked about, he said, do not think it strange that the fiery trial you're enduring as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. So there are fiery trials. James said, consider it pure joy, my brother, whenever you face various testings and trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work, so you may become mature and complete, not lacking anything. If anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. And that man should not think he received anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man and stable in all he does. He's saying something very similar to Philippians 4, 6 through 7, if you're willing to hear it. He's saying, look, consider it pure joy in between the time of your prayer, that thing you're believing God for. Rejoice in all the testings and trials, because it's going to help you grow and mature, and it's going to develop your faith so you're not double-minded and you can receive those things you're believing God for. You see how that, you could say that about what he just said there in James 1, 2 through 11. Now, that's the prayer of faith. So it's so simple, we're not going to go brief in detail about it, but I do want you to get that much. You ask God for that thing you need. Maybe it's a new house. You're believing God for a house. You feel like God wants you to have this house. So you say, God, you tell Him in detail what you want. I want a two-story house with a 2.5-car garage. I want it to be a 3-bedroom or 4-bedroom house, whatever it is. I want a white picket fence, or however you like it. I want it to be white on the outside. And I want it to have field stone on the barrier around it. I want it to be up on a hill. And I want it to be in the country. And I want it to have neighbors that are at least 1/2 mile on each end away from me. And I want pine trees around the house. What I'm trying to describe, you want it to be very detailed, because you're going to get what you ask for. You want to be very detailed of what you ask God for. And when you finally figure out what you're going to present to the king, Jesus said when you pray, He said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You approach the king with reverence and awe. You approach the king with worship. Hallowed, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You approach God with a heart fully surrendered to God's will being done in the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then after you approach God with your life fully surrendered and approach Him with praise, then you can ask for your daily bread. You can petition God for that thing whatsoever you desire. You have a biblical right to do so, because you're approaching Him with faith and you're approaching Him with reverence and respect. He's a great king and greatly to be feared, the Bible says. There's other things He also described in the Lord's Prayer, which are prerequisites to prayer. A prerequisite to prayer. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now you can petition God. Forgive us our sins. So make sure your heart's right with your fellow man and your heart's right between you and God. As we also forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, so we can ask God for leadership and deliverance. Lead us not into temptation. If we have God's leadership, we wouldn't be in temptation, will we? No, he's going to lead you far, far away from the enemy's tactics. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. He ends it again with worship. He begins it with worship and a life fully surrendered to God. A heart right with your fellow man. A heart right with God. Surrender to God's will being done in the earth. And then after you ask him for that thing you need, you worship and thank him again. Does that make sense? You see that in there? That's all in Matthew 6, I believe it's 9 through 11 in that area. Now, so you want to make sure that the Lord's Prayer, we recognize that that's protocol for prayer. Protocol's preliminary memorandum for diplomatic negotiation. Preliminary memorandum for diplomatic negotiation between you and God. We want to make sure we have our prerequisites to prayer. We're doing it the way God wants, and we're coming with the right heart, not my name is Jimmy, gimme, 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 or me, my wife, and our two kids, us four, no more. We want to have a heart that's surrendered to servitude, right? A servant's heart. Not you serve me, but I serve you, right? You serve your capacity. Now, that's so much for prayer. Now, I want you to go on over to Isaiah chapter 50. We're going to go back. We began talking with tongues, and we're kind of flowing in and out. We're laying some foundations about prayer tonight. I want you to see something here because he wanted me to talk about it. Isaiah chapter 50 now. And we'll wrap it up around here. Verse 4, listen. The Sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. This is a good confession you could speak daily. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. Now, we know this is talking about Jesus, but I want you to get something out of this. When we pray in the Holy Ghost, and when Pastor Anthony Robles came from Indiana, he's a friend of mine, and we meet with him yearly, at least once a year he comes, and he's very careful to listen to what the Holy Spirit says. He talks a lot about listening. He talks just as much about listening as he does about prayer. It's equally as important. So listen. Because God's trying to get something over to you here. Listen. He says this. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. Now we know that he called the Holy Spirit our counselor. That's our instructor. He's our teacher. He's our paraclete. He's our standby. He's our intercessor. He's our advocate. He's our go-between. He said the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. John 14:26. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you. Now saying, if you're going to say something, somebody's got to do listening, right? I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, that's after Jesus resurrected. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Well, how is he going to do it? He said, he's going to speak to you. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to take up where I left off after I resurrect. He's going to speak to you now. He'll guide you into all truth. He's going to speak truth to you and guide you into it. But it requires us to listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you in all truth. He will not speak. See? He will not speak of himself. Whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak. He talks a lot about him speaking, doesn't he? Well, speaking requires somebody to listen. And he will show you things to come. Well, what's he going to show? He's going to speak to you of things to come one day. Reveal it to you. Whether it's by revelation knowledge or whether by audible voice. Now, when it comes to listening to God, it's not only about him whispering something to your spirit in English, it would be for us, that you could hear. It could be in the form of a revelation. We got to be listening and sensitive to the Spirit to receive a revelation. A lot of times the way God speaks to me is by the form of revelation. He'll drop a whole bunch of information in me at once. It's all of a sudden, it's all just, it just explodes on the inside of my spirit. It's all there. But in order to even receive that type of revelation, you need to have your ears open to be ready to receive that. You need to be listening. You know? Especially us ministers, we, all of us really, we need to really be listening. It's very important that we listen to what the Holy Spirit's trying to say. So we want to make sure that we incline our ears like one to listen daily. He says, He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. Listen like one being taught. Well, who's he talking about listening to? God. He's talking about Jesus' ability to listen to God. But if we're the body of Christ, we need to learn to listen to God. And the more you pray in tongues, the reason that when you give an interpretation of a tongue, what precedes that is a tongue first, right? A tongue and then the interpretation. When you speak in that tongue, it opens up the ear to your spirit to receive the revelation that was spoken in tongues. Opens up the ear to your spirit. There's an ear to your spirit to hear. So we want to spend a lot of time praying in tongues so that channel, that ear of our spirit is in tune with God so that we can begin to receive from God whatever it is He's trying to communicate over to us. And He's trying to communicate many things to us. The main way God speaks to us, lo and behold, is through His Word. But He also speaks to us specific things, personal things for your calling. Personal things for daily affairs by the Holy Spirit. In order to hear Him clearly, we need to spend a lot of time speaking in tongues. And the more you speak in tongues, the more you're going to become tuned with God's Spirit. Now we know that God's key, if you're a musician, we know that there's different keys. Let's just say the key of C. If you were to take a tuning fork that is tuned to the key of C, and take another tuning fork that's also tuned to the key of C and only strike one of them on this chair here and put the other one next to the other, we know that they would, all of a sudden, the one that you didn't strike would begin to ring true to the other. Did you know that? You ever see that happen? Why is it? Well, they're tuned to the same key. And what happens in a similar way, he said, comparing spiritual with spiritual. 1 Corinthians 2, we talked about this last night. He said, words taught by the Holy Ghost. In order to get your spirit to ring true to the key of truth, God's key is truth. The way we do that is through praying in tongues and meditation of His Word. All of a sudden, your spirit's going to start to line up with God's Word to such a level that when God speaks, you're going to know it's God because you're so sensitive to the things of God. You're so sensitive to God's speaking. You know, when you're praying in tongues, if you listen to where those words are being formed on the inside of you, you're hearing God's voice. That same place that those tongues are coming from on the inside of you is the same place that God speaks in the inner witness. It's the same place where God speaks in any way on the inside. So if you're praying, and the best thing to do is pray in tongues real quietly and try to figure out on the inside of you, where is that tongues coming from? It's coming from the inside of your spirit. And if you can get familiar with that place, wherever it is those tongues are coming from, you're going to get familiar with the place where God speaks, and you're going to become a very good listener to God. And it takes practice and it takes discipline, because your mind's going to want to wander after about 10 seconds of it. It's going to try to go over here and analyze this and figure the other thing. But Brother Hagin said that after about an hour in tongues or an hour and a half, depending on how busy things are going on, your mind starts to quiet down and you become a receptor to revelation knowledge. So, you know, most people never spend a whole hour in tongues where their mind actually finally gets quiet. They don't even know what that means for their mind to get fully quiet. But if you spend a lot of time in prayer, you're going to be one whose mind does get quiet. Amen. So let's learn to become better listeners, and we want to listen to God's Word. That's our foundation, but we also want to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues on the inside of us. And some people will say that's not important, but we'll just follow their walk and see how often they hear clearly from God. I'm telling you something that'll work. This will work. So, you know, we want to pray in tongues as we go about our day and go about our daily affairs, but we should also take a time of our day to try to get quiet and to focus and to listen and see if God wants to say anything to us. Because there's many things He does want to say to us, but we're not listening. If you're not expecting God to say something, He's not going to say anything. You see? We need to listen. Do you hear what God's trying to say to you tonight? He wants us to listen. He wants us to become better listeners. He wants us to spend time alone with Him and become better listeners. For I will instruct you and I will guide you and I will show you the path to take. For there's many paths that can be presented to you, but the only path that is for you is the one that I will place. So incline your ear and learn to listen to the words when I speak. Build yourself up on your most holy faith so that you are no longer spiritually weak. So I will build you up if you will humble yourself and get down and bow down low to the ground. For I lift up the humble. I lift up the beggar from the dung heap. Yes, I lift up the poor and set them up as princes with crowns. So learn to listen to my spirit and learn to become sensitive to my voice. It takes time to spend alone with me. Yes, it is up to you to make that choice, says the Lord. So spend much time in prayer. Spend much time alone, locked away with me. Yes, says the Lord, it's time to spend alone in prayer so that you can hear and become more like me. For I will direct you, I will guide you, I will show you things to come. So start to spend more time listening to me, says the Lord. Incline your ear, for you are not dumb. I've given you the equipment for you to be able to recognize and know the truth. So listen closely and be ready to receive what my spirit would speak to you, says the Lord. So I just want to encourage you to press in prayer. Let's try to take it a next level, a next step into prayer, okay? You think we can do that? God's trying to get us to... And I also want to encourage you to really take this to heart about listening to the Holy Spirit. I want you to... The best way to do that is to be, first of all, be conscious that you should do it and to be intent about it. Intent. Have an intention to hear. What is God trying to say to me today? Every day, trying to get to focus and listen and hear from God. Because this is all part of the process of us using the gifts of the Spirit and learning how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. So, Father, I just ask you to bless these who came tonight. Pray you'd speak to them through this word. I pray they would retain it and put it into practice. Help them be doers of the word, not hearers only, Lord. We just thank you, Father, for everyone going home safely and bringing us together again. In Jesus' name, everybody said,